In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Once upon a time. So begins Mothering Sunday, Graham Swift's recently published novella. It imitates the dynamics of a fairy tale, a story of poverty and transformation. An infant abandoned on the steps of an orphanage, a life of service, the possibility of romance and of tragedy. Jane Fairchild, the 22-year-old protagonist, says, "What was a maid to do with her time, released for the day on Mothering Sunday, when she had no home to go to?" Her story is set in 1924. Only a few years after Constance Smith, a High Church Anglican, published the booklet The Revival of Mothering Sunday. She reconnected the ancient traditions such as Simnel Cake to the American campaign for a day in praise of mothers, but rooted it in the church's liturgy. Mothering Sunday, or Mother's Day, perhaps the two have always had a complex social, cultural, and religious interconnection. And Constance's idea caught hold at a time of loss for many mothers following the Great War. Loss and unknown origins are themes for Swift, too. He explores the stories we inherit and the stories we imagine. The stories we read and those we tell. Could her mother have known, ponders Jane, making her dreadful choice, how she had blessed her? Today calls to mind many of our own stories, the paths not trodden, unfulfilled longings, a tangle of memories and hopes, simple joys, unexpected blessings, the responsibilities and expectations of parenthood, stories of those who nourish us, mothers perhaps, but not exclusively so, those who are now frail, those whom we mourn. In the honesty of honouring and also grieving for mothers, we remember that mothering is part of the identity of the whole people of God. Biblical stories of mothering are complex. Today we encounter Hannah nursing her child. Like many today, she longed for motherhood. A year or so earlier, she'd uttered a wordless prayer of distress in the temple. Her husband loved her, but others scorned her childlessness. And in the presence of God, she pours out her soul, her hopes, and her anxieties. So perhaps we think it odd that Hannah gives up her son Samuel. He is the fruit of love and an answer to prayer. And today we hear her dedicating him to the Lord. She lets go of him, entrusting him to the watchful eye of an aging priest called Eli. I would encourage you to read more of Hannah's story, her ongoing praises and prayers, her love of her firstborn and her subsequent children. I'd encourage you to read a little more about Samuel too. He's faithful to Eli, like an adopted son or an apprentice, but he's also faithful to God. As Eli's eyesight fails, as the vision of God's people wavers, it's this young boy who hears God's call, and he becomes a trustworthy prophet. Hannah teaches us much about the gift and cost of motherhood, the necessary letting go in love, that those who are born might take risks in discovering their own calling. Yesterday, at Diocesan Synod, Both Bishop Andrew and Canon Hazel spoke about the vocation of the whole people for God, of God. For us, it begins with our attention to God in prayer and worship. For all of us, it's ignited by allowing the stories of God to shape our lives. For all of us, it's about keeping the cross as our focal point, as Solomon put it in confirmation class yesterday. He, Henry, Olivia, Hugh, and Josh talked about the cross being the foundation of our faith, a source of peace and praise, the assurance that we are not alone, the sign of our salvation. The cross is our hope. It is a sign that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And as we celebrate this Mothering Sunday, we're drawn into the mystery of that love. Jean Vanier wrote of Jesus as the naked king stripped of power, mobility, dignity, to reveal the truth of love in an offering of self. This naked man, condemned to death, is the Word of God made flesh, who liberates us from the chaos inside and around us. Like Hannah, Mary at the foot of the cross was an unexpected mother. Like Hannah, Mary praised God with a vision of justice and mercy. Like Hannah, Mary presented her son in the temple. And for Mary, there was a lifetime of letting go. And she stands there now with the other women at the foot of the cross. She's there with the beloved disciple who takes her into his home, into his heart. The brief exchange we've heard today in the midst of agony and death could be seen as an act of practical kindness, a son securing his mother's future. But it's far more radical. On the cross, Jesus draws humanity to himself. That is the work that glorifies his Father, and now it's nearing completion. This final gesture, says Vanier, is to bring Mary and John into oneness as he and the Father are one, to create a covenant of love between them. That covenantal bonding is life-giving. In the face of death, Mary is to be mother to all beloved disciples, bearing Jesus to them, that they may share in that mutual indwelling, he in us, we in him. Likewise, the disciples are to become a son to Mary, to bear Jesus to her. This reciprocity is the life the church is called to. It's the unity of love and communion. We are one in Christ, united in him, members one with another. This is our family. We are gathered together around one table, not bound by biological kinship, but by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are united in love, communion, and blessing, into which Mary and the beloved disciples stand. Behold your mother, behold your son. This is how we are to see each other, as family, a spacious community where we can grow in love, learning, care, and trust. The Eucharist is a place of challenge and blessing, where we find a home this Mothering Sunday. It's where we foster a culture of vocation, of calling. This Mothering Sunday, along with our confirmation candidates, let's pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be seen in our lives, for peace in anxiety, patience with our families, a little more joy, gentleness, self-control. But let's pray for prophets who proclaim God's kingdom and renew our vision, as civil servants, researchers, accountants. Let's pray for pastors in church, in social care, in volunteering. Let us pray for evangelists, sharing the good news to young and old, rich and poor. Let's pray for apostles immersed in the world of music, commerce, or education. May we discern calls both to ordination and to leadership in the world, in our midst. As we pray today for the deepening of our kinship in Christ, what is God calling you to do in his name? This is no once upon a time. Today, we are called in the power of the Spirit to bear witness to the one who reveals the reconciling love of God, Jesus Christ. Amen.